Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of A Cast to the Past, the one and only show where we have a time-traveling Volkswagen. It's like neon green or something like that. It's beautiful. What matters is that we go down memory lane, we check out the movies, the games, the TV shows, maybe some of that food that we grew up playing and eating in the 90s, the 2000s, and all of that marvelous and a lot of times not so great stuff. So traditionally, we have a bi-weekly podcast you can also check out, our The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past episode available right now. It's an hour-ish long discussion talking about one of the greatest games of all time for the Super Nintendo, but in the weeks between, we'll make sure to give you other conversations about maybe not a specific game or movie, but in this case, talking about 90s movie trends, because my name is Juan Velas, I am from San Juan, Puerto Rico, and joining me as always, we have Keith Poshek from London, Ontario, Canada, Ryan Hello. McNulty from Boston, Massachusetts. Guys, I got a question for you. Have you watched movies in the 90s? Because I'm assuming the question's yes, the answer.
I mean, I grew up in the 90s, so yes. Yes, I did.
No, nope. I went in I just didn't watch movies for the first, 10, 12 years of my life.
Yeah, we just took a turn in that VW, Time VW, or whatever it is.
Time VW. Okay. So what's going to happen with this episode is that we did a little bit of research because there's a bunch of stuff that happened in 90s movies, and
they don't really happen anymore. A decade's worth, one might say.
Yeah, a decade's worth indeed, my friend. So we have five. I'm going to kick it off hot with number one, and that is the end of the world, because I don't know about you guys, but I remember I always heard about the Y2K, about how computers are going to be the destruction of mankind. And then with that, you got a bunch of movies that were obsessed about the end of the world. And a lot of times it could be something like your Independence Day, where the aliens are coming, they're going to take us, and your Mars Attacks. You also had your Armageddons. You also had your, what's going to happen when the countdown is over? Are all the computers going to explode? What did you guys think about this trend where seemingly a ton of movies, especially action-oriented movies, just had to have the world coming to an end?
Oh, I love movies like this so much. Just dumb action movie. And that was really a pillar of the 90s. Just that whole setup of there's only one man that can save us. Only Bruce Willis can stop Armageddon.
No, Keith. Will Smith. Will Smith. He can save the world.
True. From aliens that don't exist. But yeah, those movies are great. They're dumb, fun action movies. And it really took a turn, especially in the late 90s, like getting rid of like the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone style movies, and then just moving to these end of the world movies that really still happen today. Like there was 2012, The Rock just fought a skyscraper in a movie. It's really something that just continued, and for great reason. They're fun movies.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like these movies also kind of, you kind of pair them up a little bit. Like, everyone kind of loops together Mars Attacks and Independence Day because they kind of came out around the same time. And same with Armageddon. There was a movie, I believe, was called Deep Impact, which was another disaster movie. Armageddon and Deep Impact, like, people pair them together because they came out around the same time. But yeah, it was very interesting. I do think the whole Y2K on the mind had something to do with it. And I also just feel like the 90s were a very prosperous time. And, the pre-9/11 world in America, especially, was really like a different world. And I feel like when it's a very prosperous time and it's everyone's very happy, then the entertainment kind of has to do the opposite to kind of catch people's interest. You need to have like something darker. That's why I feel like a lot of the 90s music was also darker at this time.
Grunge, yeah.
Yeah. Because you definitely see a shift in like a post 9/11 world where it's a lot of stuff is to uplift people after such a disaster. So, and definitely we wanted to take a break from those types of movies after such a tragedy. So I think that definitely is why we saw a lot of these disaster movies in the late 90s. A lot of them are some cheesy stuff. Somehow it's like the solution for an asteroid is to get these oil drillers, we're going to train them to be astronauts. And, why not? I still hear arguments
to
this day.
And really fast track that.
I still hear arguments to this day for Armageddon of, Is it better to train oil drillers to be astronauts or astronauts to be oil drillers? Like, you know what I mean? Like, apparently Armageddon makes the argument that it's easier to train an astronaut.
And I think they just capitalized on that uncertainty of what's going to happen with Y2K. So I think that a lot of these movies, the reason that maybe they don't always hold up is because we know what happened, which is nothing, right? It's just people capitalizing on that. You had your Y2K shirts, but seemingly close enough. Moving on to number two, and this is cringe. This is really cringy because we're going to be talking about hackers in 90s movies.
Oh.
Two key examples. One of them is actually our upcoming episode, which is The Matrix, which is a 1990 movie starring one Keanu Reeves. And we also had the infamous hacker movie in 1995. And I remember watching that movie. I owned the VHS tape. My brother and I would used to watch that all the time. And I think, like, more so than hacking, it really is about computers and movies, because you could tell a lot of people just didn't know what computers were, right? So before we hit the record button, I know we're talking about movies, but Ryan mentioned, like, your CSIs and the infamous enhance. You can't see a picture because it's blurry. What if you enhance it? If you enhance it, everything's solved. Yet today, like, that's still not really the case. But what you guys think about hacking and stuff like that in the 90s?
I mean, in general, it's at that point in time, most people were not very computer savvy. So it probably went over a ton of people's heads, like how BS a lot of the hacking and stuff is. And in a lot of ways, a lot of that stuff still goes on to this very day. I think they just have to be a lot smarter about it. But I do love in a lot of movies, and even I was happened to be watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer recently. My roommate had it on, and that'll be my excuse for saying why I was watching
Buffy's,
it.
Buffy's great.
But
you don't need
no
to
problem
with justify
that. I noticed there was a thing where someone got an email, and it was like a full-on, full-screen, you've got mail thing. Like, what mail client ever had, like, it just takes over your entire computer screen to be like, you've got mail, just so a person could understand, oh, that person got an email.
I believe these days that's called malware.
Yeah. I mean, you go back to Hacker in 1995, that was pretty much it, malware the movie, right, Keith?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just this great thing of people that were making movies, because it was like an older generation, had no idea what computers actually were, so it was their interpretation. That's where we got like the movie hacking thing, where someone just goes like this a mile a minute and boom, they just broke into the NSA or something like that. And then just the needing to have a visual interpretation, you see that a lot more on the Matrix style thing, where hacking is just this green screen and things going down like, oh, I'm in the interweb now, I'm in the internet, where in reality all you heard was a dial tone. And if you grew up in that generation, you know exactly what sound I'm talking about, because you hear it in your head right now.
And if you don't, you're making us feel really, really old right now. Stop
so
it.
Thank
Stop
you for
making
that.
That happen. And this is the thing, like the trend with these hacking movies is that at some point, there's always a problem happening in a movie, but everybody has that one friend, that one computer freak that you go to,
and
he
solves
like all your
problems.
And he's
terrible at everything else in life.
Yeah.
Lives in a basement, but God, can he hack a computer.
Oh, man, I love these movies. And now we've been talking about the movies, but let's actually take it back before the movies themselves actually even came out. Because at number three, in a world where movies have to sell tickets, one man had to I'm doing like a hybrid of Don LaFontaine and The Undertaker, weirdly enough. I don't know. I feel like there's a hybrid thing going on. May he rest
you
in peace.
You will rest in a movie theater, boy.
By the VHS.
Man, if you had a voice of the 90s movies, it's Oof. This guy.
Yeah.
Just he was everywhere. That guy got paid. At least I hope he did. Where every single trailer, in a world where the world is ending, like this very dramatic thing to like, a man and a woman fall in love. This is their story. Or they took the dog to the dog park. Just every single, it was a giant range of movies, all with the exact same voice. That guy had such a great niche. I miss it, honestly, in trailers. Like, I'm not a big fan of movie trailers these days, especially this whole trend of trailers and previews before trailers. Like, that's prime trailer right there. there, that voice.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hell of a gig. I think there's only so many voiceover people that get to work, because you'll hear the same voices across many movies. So you got to have a pretty damn good voice to get that job. Yeah, this is a trend that I'm not surprised has gone away, because as you just saw, it's something that has been parodied so much that if anyone did that today, their trailers just immediately turns into a joke already. So that's just a thing that, you know, it was great for its time, but you can't get away with it nowadays, because it is now a meme.
Yeah, I think it was a matter of fact that they were trying to sell the movie when maybe they weren't sure how to do it. So it's a lot easier to have a guy, you hand them a script and it's like, well, just say the movie's about this, right? Now, we rarely get voiceover movie trailers. It's usually either text or they just have the actual dialogue happening, right? And they hope that they do.
Or
that
sells the movie. Or like a sad version of a happy song.
Yes, that's
like
the new
trend. Like you have the cake
new,
song
yeah,
with
that
like
is
a
the
piano.
New trend. Like Gears of War started that trend, and it has continued forever, where you remix an old song and slow it down and make it more like ominous.
I'm a little teapot, short and stout.
I'm really freaked out right now. I'm just gonna move on to number four.
See,
I'm
they'll
gonna
do that in the horror
palette
movie.
Now true, they always have like the, or like the heartbeat where they would do like doo-doom. Dun-dun. And then it would fade to black.
And then the inception
boom,
noise.
Another thing. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that still happens today. Still happens today.
Adam Sandler, folks. Because there was a point in time in Adam Sandler's movie career where people actually liked him. I don't know where things went wrong. I don't know what happened. Adam, we could possibly talk about it down the line. We're not going to be doing that right now. But that being said, Adam Sandler in the 90s, some good stuff. I mean, this all came out. So, Billy Madison, 1995. Happy Gilmore, 1996. Big Daddy. I love me some Big Daddy, 1999.
Yeah,
Waterboy, 1998. And The Wedding Singer. I mean, the freaking Wedding Singer, one of my favorite movies of all time in 1998. What say you guys about 90s Adam Sandler?
Man, Adam Sandler, like, such a different person in the 90s than he was now. Who knows what happened? I'm going to guess that he figured out he could basically literally throw up a movie and still make $1 million off of it. So that's why we have like the Netflix special Adam Sandler that we have today, the grown-ups Adam Sandler.
That's like budget Walmart Adam Sandler.
Pretty much. But like, yeah, the 90s were a great time for Adam Sandler, even outside of movies, with like his comedy CDs and stuff like that. Happy Gilmore is probably one of my favorite movies ever. It's insane to see the trajectory of how his career went, and it's like this a lot now. But yeah, just a bunch of great movies. Probably the comedy actor of the 90s.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, The Wedding Singer. A lot of those are just really fun movies. I don't know how much of them hold up today. I think Happy Gilmore and Wedding Singer definitely still hold up today, especially The Wedding Singer. But yeah, I mean, this dude, like, it was also, we were younger, so a lot of that humor was probably a lot funnier to us. But there were a lot of adults that enjoyed Adam Sandler at that time, too, and he had a great Saturday Night Live career. So like Adam Sandler is definitely like, if you think of the 90s, you think of comedy, you like Adam Sandler has to be in that conversation every single time.
Absolutely.
You know, surprisingly enough, I actually didn't know about Saturday Night Live until years after, because I didn't have cable TV for the longest time. So all I really had was the VHS tapes that would come out. And then
the
I saw
of.
Adam Sandler.
That's a lot of what I saw too.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I remember I saw Billy Madison, I believe, was the first movie that I saw of his. And then Big Daddy. Like, I was all over the place. I didn't chronologically watch a lot of the movies that we'd
be
talking about in the 90s.
I need to rewatch Big Daddy. It's been years, and I wonder if it holds up. All I remember is the foot scene from Big Daddy.
I got one question for you. What are your thoughts about Scuba Steve?
I don't remember a lot about Scuba Steve.
You are no longer my friend. Ryan, please tell me you have something to say about Scuba Steve. Please.
Well, no, that's why I said damn you, because I remember he like steps on him. He's like, ah, Scuba Steve, damn you.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And now we're going to bring it to another actor that unfortunately passed away in a controversial manner. But I mean, this man brought so much joy to myself, to so many awesome people. And I think we all idolized this guy because he was in pretty much everything from Mrs. Doubtfire, Aladdin, Jumanji, Hook, Patch Adams. At number five in the 90s trend list, we have one Robin Williams. What's your guys' take on Robin Williams? Because we have two comedy actors here, Adam Sandler, Robin Williams. Now, each one had, you know, a little bit of drama stuff on the side, but very different comedic actors, especially in the film, you know, in the big screen, if you will. How did you like the style of comedy that Robin Williams offered?
Yeah, it's going to sound weird, but I don't really think of Robin Williams that much as like a comedy actor, more than just a comedian that did some acting. Like, to me, Robin Williams is more of like a stand-up comic, even though he had amazing shows and amazing voice talents. Like, one of the 80s shows that is top five for me is Mork and Mindy. I love that show so much, but I just always enjoyed Robin Williams' stand-up even more. I think that's when he was his like most hilarious. But you can't deny some of the movies that you mentioned there and just how great they are. Just an overall funny dude. Like, I would say in the 90s, Adam Sandler was more of a comedic actor and Robin Williams was more of a comedian.
I disagree to some extent. I think Robin Williams, in a lot of way, I think his comedy holds up a lot better, aside from maybe a lot of the pop culture references that that are made in Aladdin. But still, he made
his comedy
genie.
Or his like comedy in movies.
But I mean, I think in both. I mean, his stand up is legendary as well. But I mean, his role in Mrs. Doubtfire, like what he made the genie in Aladdin is just incredible. And I actually saw the like live like play or musical of Aladdin recently, and the genie character, you can tell, is just like completely like they do a lot of like breaking the fourth wall, like that's inspired by like Robin Williams. Like, without Robin Williams, the genie would not be what everyone knows the genie as.
That's true.
And of course, like, if we want to talk just like serious acting, there's Good Will Hunting as well, which, you know, that shows kind of a different side of Robin Williams, a more serious side. But yeah, I just think it was definitely a different style, and nobody really brought energy quite like Robin Williams. I don't know where he gets it from, but just the guy just never stops, and it's amazing.
I think there was a difference to the comedy with Adam Sandler. I think it was by default more a laugh out loud, more I want to get immediate reaction, you know, laughter. Whereas with Robin Williams, I think it was more about you smiled a lot. Like, for example, I think about Hook, Jumanji, and Aladdin, and I can't help but just smile. Like, I'm not necessarily laughing out loud while watching his stuff, but it's like this humility that he offered with the movies and the character, and he could combine the comedy with the drama like very few actors could. I mean, Mrs. Doubtfire, he's a cross-dresser basically in that movie. He should by all means be this ridiculous character, but even while he's dressed the way he is, you can't help but feel the seriousness behind the meaning of the character. Why is he going through all that? Yeah, you've been laughing out loud, almost damn near crying from laughter, you know, in earlier parts of the movie. So that's why I wanted to make sure we talked about both, because I think that these are two of the bona fide comedy actors, comedians, whatever you guys want to call them. As you mentioned, Keith, both had excellent careers doing stand-up and things like that. So whether they're on the big screen or just sitting in front of people holding microphone, I think they were definitely very enjoyable actors. So these are five things that we talked about, and we could talk about 90s trends for hours, because Adam Sandler, Robin Williams, these could be episodes by themselves, right? So for everybody watching and listening, let us know. When you think about the 90s, especially the big screen, you're going in there, what comes to mind? It could be a theater commercial. It could be the movie trailers. It could be another actor. We contemplated adding maybe Drew Barrymore, Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks, a lot of Toms. Toms were
Chris
popular
Farley.
In the 90s. Chris Farley. Dude, I love me some Beverly Hills Ninja, Tommy Boy, Black Sheep. I could talk about that for hours. So if anybody's watching and listening, you want us to talk a little bit more about that, let us know. while these two gentlemen and myself cook up additional topics, podcasts. If you listen to us on the go with the podcast apps, help us out. You can drop a moderately modest... Whoa, Keith, are you okay, man?
I'm sorry, I hit my microphone there doing my
yeah,
stir.
Yeah, Keith was cooking something. Keith, you cannot be near a kitchen, my friend. I'm very afraid right now. But drop a review on podcast apps. Consider subscribing to the YouTube channel for a visual experience. Do not forget, we finally published episode one. We've had four videos up until this point for podcasts, but episode one is now available. And do not forget, my friends, that the next episode of Forbid is, what is it, Ryan? Putting you on the spot. What are we going to be talking about?
It's going to be The Matrix.
Speaking of some hacking, some good 90s hacking.
I'm excited for this conversation because I think that this conversation that we had is definitely the precursor to a lot of these things that we're going to look at and go like, yep. That's a 90s thing that would in no way hold up today. So until next time, thank you for watching, listening. Hope you're having yourself an awesome time. Go play some of them retro video games, movies, whatever it is, with a side of Lunchables, with maybe some popcorn. We will be back with more here on A Cast to the Past, which I still need an outro for. So thank you for watching and listening, and may Keith hold on to your soul, folks. See you later.